with Mike McFeely and Paul Juergens.
If you are looking for something to do, you can go to KFGO.com and check out the blog written by myself, Mike McFeely. It is titled, So Many Opinions, So Little Time. Very popular among the visitors at KFGO.com. I posted a new blog today before I came into the studio here, and I did a little research on the gentleman who is spearheading the opposition to the school bond vote down in Pelican Rapids. And this guy, Paul Doerr from Iowa, has an interesting past. Let's put it that way. If you want to read more about that, you can go to my blog at kfgo.com. Hello, Paul Juergens. Have you been to my blog yet today?
Not today. I was out, I was doing some electrical work with the team here.
Electrical work.
We were at one of the tower sites stringing 400 feet of cable underground.
Who had to be the mole that went underground?
Well, we had that. It went through a conduit. But it was interesting.
Well, what was interesting about
it? Well, we got her done. Joel Heitkamp was the foreman.
Okay. Well, he's a get her done kind of guy.
We got her done.
So we'll see. Anybody get hurt?
Nope.
Anybody get muddy?
A little bit, maybe.
Anybody's fingers get cold because it's chilly out there?
That wasn't too bad.
Did you have some hot cocoa and cider along?
We were dressed. We sang.
Sang campfire songs.
Campfire.
100 so bottles of beer on the wall.
So it's done.
Good. Congrats. So are we back on the air now? Was I off the air?
No. It was one of the other stations in the family here.
Oh.
And it wasn't off the air. It was just something that they needed to do.
Okay. Well, good.
Keep tabs on
back, okay?
All
right.
Heitkamp.
Little blue collar.
Heitkamp used his shoulder as a pulley for about a half hour.
Oh.
So he'd black and blue for a while, I think.
He will be black and blue. I was wondering why you're wearing the lunch pail and the hard hat around the, carrying the lunch pail and hard hat around the office this morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, you never know. Bergquist went by, something like that. OSHA.
No, I didn't mean that. I just meant that you're doing the blue.
We followed all safety precautions, regulations.
Good. Excellent. Regulations. Fantastic. Nobody hurt at all. No. Let's do the four-pack. Top four talk show talkers of the day with me, Mike McFeely, and him, Paul Juergens, KFGO news director on KFGO. Number four, I received a tip today.
Really?
I did. I received a tip from a source.
Is that right?
An Otter source.
Really?
That said, the Fergus Falls Band, McFeely, they're picking out some new uniforms for their band.
The marching band?
The marching band. I said, I better follow up on this. So I used my sources. I went the back channel. Mm-hmm. I did a little background. I went in a parking ramp, a little, you know, little whisper type thing going on there. And I found out that the new Fergus Falls High School band uniforms, the selection has been made.
Really?
Band director Scott Kumrow says he's waiting for a final drawing from a uniform company, and traditional marching band best describes them.
Are they maroon and gold?
I suppose they are.
How old are the old uniforms? Back when I played the tuba.
My source didn't tell me that, Jergy. I apologize for that.
I'll bet they've replaced them since.
But I know this. The estimated cost for each uniform is $250.
Well, they should be pretty schwanky.
Yeah, oh, very schwanky. Marv Schwanky from south of Brandon?
Different Schwanky family.
Different branch of the Schwanky family.
Well, that's
family.
Exciting. I can't wait to see the new uniforms in Fergus Falls. Otter 1 and Otter 2. we're very excited. So that's big news.
I took some notes from what Scott Kumrow said. Now, he's the band director down there in Fergus.
Yeah.
He said, quote, "We heard a lot of people and alumni that are all white uniforms were very striking. When people watched us on TV and in the national parades, it wasn't a must, but it ended up what the committee had decided is an all-white uniform, accent colors, and we have maroon and gold in it." Okay. The student committee now, according to Scott Kumrow, they wanted ropes on the shoulders.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Over the shoulder, kind of that Idi Amin look, call it.
Right.
Kind of a military thing. But the students wanted the ropes to represent the two inaugural parades the band has been in.
Oh.
So they got the ropes and the shoulders for the kids.
It's compromised, and I can't wait to see them.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Where are they marching?
I don't know.
What? You're the
if this summer,
the Cardinal band was marching somewhere, I'd know.
Do they have new uniforms?
I have no
idea. Alexandria Cardinals? No, I don't think so.
Can't afford
it. I think so.
Can't afford it down there.
Why don't you just write them a big check?
I can't afford it down there. Number three, Jergy.
Yes, Mike.
The favorite color of cars in the world today, according to a survey from PPG Industries.
That's a paint company.
The largest supplier of transportation coatings. Guess what the favorite color for vehicles around the world is?
I think it's white.
Well, that's kind of anticlimactic.
Well, I think it is.
It is. It's right.
I think it's been white.
It's always been white?
Well, in recent years.
21% of the world has a white vehicle, followed equally by sedate black. What does that mean?
I don't know.
No, followed by equally sedate black. Sorry. I misread the sentence.
I guess you did.
By sedate black, gray, and silver.
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 What color is your pickup?
White.
What color is Daniel's Chevy?
Muddy.
White.
Oh, white? Okay.
Have you seen the front end damage on that thing?
No.
Haven't you seen that?
His mom doesn't know that.
Oh.
Cinder didn't know that.
Oh. It's like he hit a telephone pole.
His phone is ringing right now.
It's like he hit a telephone pole.
Hello, Cinder? Yes, it's me, Dan.
That's very exciting that PPG would keep track of that.
It's just a bit on the four-pack, Mom.
I think that's...
It's not the truth.
I knew it was white, and it's been white for many years, I think.
What color are your cars?
Red. Off-white. Green. Black.
How many cars do you have?
And silver.
How many cars do you have?
These are... Children have a couple of the cars.
Well, have them stand on their own 2 feet.
Well, they're in school. They're in college.
When I was in college, I bought my own vehicle.
When I was in high school, I bought my own vehicles.
Well, my dad bought me my first car.
Really?
71. Yeah, Pinto. It was green. Green Pinto.
See,
the Green Hornet, not the Pinto.
I had the 68 Chrysler 300 that I paid cash money for from Minnesota Motor. And it was the old wrestling coach's car. Beautiful car. And then I had, of course, the 68 Corn Binder. The International Short Box.
What color was the corn binder?
The corn binder was kind of tan.
Okay.
With an off-white top.
You're a car aficionado. You love cars.
It had the, I think it had the 345. Might have been the 304.
Wait a second. You're getting into motorhead territory.
I think it was
here.
A 345. I had a 3-speed on the floor.
You're a gearhead. Aren't you? You're a gearhead.
Craig Powerplay.
Yeah,
cassette
you are.
Player.
Wow.
But I paid for it.
Good.
Think my parents paid the insurance for the vehicles. But I paid for the cars.
My dad, as I've said before, paid $250 for the 1971 green AMC Hornet. Or as it was quickly dubbed at Jefferson High School, the Little Green Love Machine.
Really? Hadn't heard that.
Neither have I. Neither did the Hornet. Sadly, neither did the Hornet. Number two.
You dubbed it that, didn't you? Just hoping that...
Just hoping against hope.
Maybe if you'd have driven around wearing a Cardinal band uniform, you might have.
Number two on our list, Jergy.
Yes, Mike.
A historic South Fargo home, Jergy, which I think was moved from Fergus Falls, wasn't it?
It was in 1992.
Burned.
Well, it's not. Don Haney of our new staff was out there very early this morning. It's owned by Don and Mary Kinsler. It is south on University, off to the east. It's south of the Cooley and toward the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it's a large yellow home. In Fergus Falls, it was moved from there in 92. People there referred to it as the Weber House, and before it left town.
The Webers owned it, I presume,
at some point.
It was the Webers. Yep.
But I recall, and I think Don Haney recalls, when it moved to town because it was a big production.
Mm-hmm.
It's a large home. And they moved it from Fergus Falls to Fargo. And so power lines, traffic signals, a lot of equipment had to be moved. And if I recall, you couldn't bring it down the interstate because it wouldn't fit under the bridge. Bridges along the route,
sure.
Right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, you're right.
And I don't think they allow homes to be moved down the interstate anyway. I think they took it from Highway Fergus out of Fergus west on 210, and I think they brought it up 75 and then up 81. If I recall. But it was a major production as far as utilities,
mm-hmm.
city, county, and they got the home in there. And
it's a beautiful home.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
One of those cool, old, huge houses.
Victorian style, and had been in Fergus Falls
for many years.
And of course,
the Webbers live there.
And I was told just this afternoon, somebody contacted me from Fergus Falls and wanted to know if the home was destroyed. I said, no, I don't think so. I mean, it was up in the attic, and certainly there's some damage. And the fire department, given its proximity away from university, they had to string, I think, 700 feet of hose.
Jeez.
But I think the home is repairable. I don't know that. But this person told me, you know, there's still some people around here that are upset that it left. It was 1992.
It wasn't the house's decision, first of all.
No, it was the owner's.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, it's 21 years ago.
Well, still a sore spot.
Get over it.
It's still a sore spot, I guess.
But that's typical of people in Otter Country. They hold a grudge. They hold a grudge for a long time. They do.
They do not.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
They're from Otter Tail County. They're very grudgy.
No, they don't. Very
grudgy. Except you.
We're not.
You're very not grudgy. Douglas County guys like me, we're carefree, laissez-faire.
Sure.
Yep. Fine.
Brush it off.
Number, everything just rolls off my back. I never get worked up about anything. Except everything. Number one on our list today, this is the truth. This is the honest Brett Favre truth. The St. Louis Rams called 44-year-old grandfather Brett Favre and asked if he would be willing to play quarterback for the St. Louis Rams.
Well, their quarterback's down, Bradford, right?
Yes, Sam Bradford.
He's down.
Knee injury down.
And I haven't read all the reports, but Bud says he's in great playing shape, right?
His agent, Bus Cook, said, oh, great shape.
Fine.
Play tomorrow.
A little coaching, high school coaching.
Yeah.
A little mowing.
Putting in some countertops at his mother's place.
No, he's done with that project.
Okay, sorry.
That was a couple of years ago. It took a while, though. And he's doing some Wrangler commercials.
He is.
With Dale Earnhardt Jr., what did he say? Did they speak to him personally? Did they talk to his people?
On Sports Talk 570 down in St. Louis today, Favre told Andy Polin, it's flattering, but there's no way in hell I'm going to do that.
Is that what he said?
That is what he said, yes. That's a quote from from Sports Talk 570 in St. Louis.
But his agent says he's in great shape and he could play tomorrow.
Yeah.
So why isn't he going to play? He's in great shape.
But it's because there's no way in hell he's going to do that. That's why. That's the best explanation Brett could come up with.
Any chance that the Vikings could woo him?
Well, that's what I was hoping for, theoretically speaking, earlier. It'd be a lot of fun.
How many people in this building and how many people out in KFGO land purchased a Brett Favre jersey?
My wife has one.
I have one.
That I purchased for her.
I have one. I can't find it. I don't know where it is.
Really?
Yep. I checked my Viking closet today. And
stop. A Viking closet?
Well, I have some memorabilia.
You do not.
I have some memorabilia. I have a lot of it.
Really?
I got John Randall. That jersey's there. Adrian Peterson. The Randall's purple. The Peterson is white. And it's still in the wrapper.
Oh, my good. Look at you being the collector. Look at you being the memorabilia guy.
And he'll be traded.
Now, you mean AP's jersey, not AP himself,
still in the wrapper.
Yeah.
Never been worn. And they'll probably trade him.
Probably will.
It won't be worth anything. So I'm looking for my Favre jersey. If anybody's seen it, I think I might bring it out.
Thanks, Jerky. Appreciate that. Paul Juergens, KFGO News Director on the Mike McFeely Show. We have nothing but open land in front of us, open field in front of us. Like I like to say, we can take your phone calls the rest of the way.